This is Real Talk, where all walks of life come together for thoughtful, constructive conversation. No arguments, no debate, just transparency. I'm John Warden, and this is Real Talk. Good morning, everyone. It's Real Talk. And yes, Real Talk, real conversations about real life events. And once again, we're so glad you've tuned in to us. It's a Saturday morning, and I pray wherever you're at, the sun's shining and not rain or snow or wind, or especially if you're inside, so you have all those things and all those things covered. But a weekly show we want to get in, and I got guests again here that's going to come in here and just talk through some things about what we deal with from a modern point of view. Old ethics, new ways of doing things, old ways of doing things, and we're going to bring them together and see how manners and etiquette are going to come together today and see if we have left that somewhere in the wagon trail. A lost art. Mm. So, again, no introduction needed for the gentleman to my right, Mr. Manning Kimmel. And once again, Catherine has graced us with her presence and insightfulness from both of them. And so we're going to try to touch on manners and etiquette. We're going to jump right into this thing. We appreciate you listening. We'll get into some other things about the show and things to come. But let's jump right in. And I want to kind of jot down some notes here, and I want to read something and just to open it up. And again, this is a program, guys. This is not meant for argumentative. It's meant for insightfulness to a place and a way in life that we find ourselves today. Old school, new school, school to come, preschool, grade school, middle school, or high school. Doesn't really matter what school it is. We're never too old to learn.
That's right. Exactly.
And some of the things I think we've learned is we've learned to forget some of our manners. Modern etiquette in today's world, let's talk through that, focuses on kindness, respect, and consideration, prioritizing people over rigid rules to make others feel comfortable. Key behaviors include active listening. Imagine this, punctuality, respecting personal space, mastering digital manners like putting phones away during conversations. Oh boy. Core courtesies remain crucial, including saying, here they come, please, and thank you. Things like holding doors, polite table manners, and polite greetings and salutations. Things like, hello, how are you? Instead of a faceless generation that we've grown to be in texting and emails and all those modern things that we're into, we've lost the art of etiquette. And so first thing I'm going to do is turn it over to Mr. Manning himself, and he's going to bring us back from the world of Fly Me to the Moon, and we're going to land on this earth here for a little bit. Not that he's old, but he's got a young mindset, but let's just say he has experience.
Well, the question I would have is, what happened to the just general respect that people used to have for one another? I was brought up in a household, there was no other way to do it except yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You hold the doors, that's the way it was done, period. End of discussion. And here in the South, particularly, you know, you would think that this would be ingrained over all the generations, but maybe because we've had so many new people move into the South, things have changed. But you don't hear the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir, much at all anymore. I hardly ever hear it.
You know, I will say this before I turn to Catherine, because I know she's got some insight into this already and how she handles things around her home and the way I do around mine. I've got four little ones at home, 8 and less. Had a birthday yesterday, so he's 8 now and under. Woo-hoo. So, and the greatest thing I try to teach them is yes, sir, no, sir, responding in like kind. I don't like grunts. Yeah. And I don't like waving at me and head nodding and all those things that they love to do to give you the answer that you think you're looking for. Something to be said for a verbal altercation. And, you know, softening the tone of any bad situation becomes a key element in how we greet one another. Now, you mentioned the South, Southern hospitality.
Sure.
Catherine, would you have, back in the day, have had to have attended – a proverbial grace school. You would have had to go, not picking at you, but as a young lady in the South, you would have had to have showed up with, you know, the saucer on the head and the how to hold your finger just right and which side of the left or right, that which fork goes where. And I'm still confused on where the salads are, where the salad fork goes. And so I'm not so gratuitous there in terms of functionality. But the question is, what's wrong with all that? Showing some grace, some debonair, some respectfulness, showing some class.
I think that it's not necessarily the larger picture here, and the bigger concern is not necessarily the things like where does the fork go, where does the knife go. It's really how you handle yourself in certain situations. I think that when you talk to the fact of, hey, are you using yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Sometimes that's a dying breed in some areas of the world, because there's some cultures and areas that communities that look at that, hey, I'm old if you call me that.
Hmm.
Have you heard that one before? I'm sure both of you have, where you said yes, ma'am, and they said, ma'am, I'm not old. That's my mom. Don't say that to me.
Oh, I've had people get real insulted. In fact, recently, just as soon as a couple of weeks ago, I come in and say, how do you do, ma'am? Don't call me that. I'm not old. Don't call me that. I'm like, ma'am, it's a greeting of respect. It's an understanding that I probably still have a couple of knots on my head for my father, if you didn't use those things properly, proceeded to enlarge those areas on my head. And it was a matter of get your attention. Anyone in a position of authority, it's a salutation. It's a greeting. When you come to someone's home, you come to someone's business, you walk in, you greet them either with a hug, a handshake. Those kind of things. And we forgot to do that. The look in the eye, to be able to look straight in someone's eye when you're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really easy to do that when you're texting.
And that's the problem.
And there's the problem. So I guess when we come forward again, I'm always going to ask the questions, and we'll ponder this point. Are we better or worse? Now, back to that lady for a minute. When I said to her and I explained to her, she said, well, that's fine. She said, but where I come from, this isn't really something that we gravitate to as a need for respectfulness. And so I'm going to go off on a caveat here in a minute once we finish this portion of it to talk about, has the lack of proper greetings and salutations and yes, sirs and no, mans led to a growing embassy of young people who have a lack of authority for police?
Well, go back to what you just said, though. She said it's not so much about where I come from. It's not so much about what we say. It's how we do it is what I heard. And it's not the words you use, the vocabulary you use. So go back to what you also said is the grumbling when the kid responds to you. You don't like that. So if my child says to me, yes, ma'am, versus yes, ma'am, or if they say, I'll get right on that. I would rather them say, I get right on that, Mom, instead of, yes, ma'am. So it's all about the enthusiasm or the way you phrase things, the way it sounds, the tone in your voice, I think, in some scenarios. It's not necessarily the words we use. I'll be straight up and honest. There was one time, I hate to admit it, that I was on the phone with somebody I did not know, and I said, yes, ma'am. No, I said, yes, sir, and it was a ma'am. And they quickly corrected me, and I was highly embarrassed. I didn't know I wasn't in front of the person, but they sounded to me, it was a lower voice, sounded like a man. So sometimes we can kind of get ourselves in trouble with the words we use. So I think sometimes changing the tone makes a world of a difference.
But, you know, I would much rather be so-called offended because somebody said, yes, ma'am, when they should have said, yes, sir, then, hey, you know, the grunts and whatever. I just, you know, to me, I'm another generation. This was the only way I knew how to do it. And I don't understand why people would want to lose that. And they've only lost it because their parents haven't thought it was important enough to do it. Or the kids, because they live on these phones, don't hear anybody saying, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Just say, well, I don't need to say that.
Well, the relatability, when you're in a public service business like we're all in, yeah. Okay, we work with the public daily. I do. You're greeting people. The phone calls are ringing. We have the type of, remodeling business and administrations of businesses and different things that we do here. Everybody has to be greeted. And so at what point is the yes, ma'am, roll into a constant problem with communication leading them from childhood? We're not just talking about children. We're talking about adults. And again, tone is everything. You know that. Tone's in the room. And it's how many times have you looked at your spouse and go, what did you mean by that? And you didn't mean anything. But just the way they delivered it becomes an issue. And I think those are the things that, atmospherically speaking, we set a tone in the room, but how we communicate, mm-hmm. how we dance, how we work, and how we walk through it. And so that's the thing I encourage my staff is, guys, when you're on the phone, and it's amazing to watch them in here, because sometimes it's really funny. They'll get on the phone and they'll, hey, good morning, how are you? And I love, and it's so glad you called, and we love all this. And they get off the phone and they go, oh my gosh, if one more person calls. You know, aren't that really the way we are in terms of mannerisms and all that for etiquette? But go back to chivalry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking about etiquette and how we do. Is there a thing such more anymore? Is ladies first?
Are you offended, Catherine, if a gentleman opens the door for you?
I am not, but there are a lot of women who are. Because there's a, I can do that for myself mentality. You know, whenever it was where it turned into women wanting to work outside of the home and do everything that a man can do. And there's some days I'm like, who is that woman? Can I just punch her real quick? Yeah. Life would be so much easier right now.
Jeez.
You know, you're talking about something called personal space, and it's in that too. And it's really hard sometimes to do that. And when I'm in a lot of homes, a lot of businesses, a lot of meeting a lot of people, as you are, and you have to watch how you carry yourself, because you never want anything to be insinuated to be a definition of something that comes off incorrectly. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just body gestures and mannerisms, but it's no different in here. When you walk into an office and you say, hey guys, take care of this for me, the response I get back is equally as important as when I go home and say, son, how about cleaning up your room? Pick up your clothes. Take that. So again, habitual. What kind of habits are we in as far as people, and what part in play does mannerisms and etiquette in rearing, if you will, child rearing, what location we were brought up in, what is it doing to put us in a position to further teach our children, again, in the way that they shall go and they won't depart? What are we demonstrating? I've got to tell you that, I can remember coming from a family growing up when adults were in the room. Boy, you didn't walk in and say anything until you were recognized.
That's exactly right.
And that's how it was done. And if you walked into the room and you said something, if looks could kill kind of things, you know what I mean? That proverbial, I'll deal with you later, and he ain't said nothing yet. So you dealt with that. Also, too, and again, I'm touching on a lot of subjects because these are the things that come to mind when it comes to etiquette, when it comes to proper ascension. And you got young children and older, but when somebody's on the phone or they're talking, don't interrupt them.
Yeah.
Now, the greatest thing I have all day long is sometimes is to be able to call home and get any sort of intelligent conversation. Because in the background, it does not matter. And so I go and deal with them and say, hey, guys, when mom's on the phone, when dad's on the phone, when grandma's on the phone, when whoever's on the phone, change the atmosphere. Play, have a good time. You want them jovial and you want them to live, but without self-constructive moderations of how we're going to do things and how they conduct themselves. Mm-hmm. Again, self-control is not something that is demanded. It's taught. We have to teach them that way, and we have to do that. And so throughout all the life activities, church activities and all, well, nobody's happier to greet you most of the time than when you go to church.
Oh, yeah.
It's, hey, brother, and hey, sister, and all that other, the same people that want to yank your eyeballs out sometimes. You know what I mean? It's just, it's okay, because the atmosphere says in church, Remember the old song, Why Can't Every Day Be Like Christmas?
Yeah, exactly.
Again, we're talking about community. We're talking about atmosphere. We're talking about changing atmosphere in your neighborhood to your neighbors. You know, are they always the ones that are they're after?
You're talking about rules, R-U-L-E-S. And for some reason, we're in a time of mankind where rules don't seem to make a whole lot of difference. People kind of go do what they want to do in whatever they're doing. This is just one aspect of it. If you have rules in the house, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, you know, hold the door, all that kind of stuff, you have to make sure that you teach your children that these are the rules of this household. As long as you're under my roof, we're going to be doing this. You may not like it, but it's a rule. When you leave this house and you're on your own, do what you want.
Curfews, those kind of things.
We
talked a little bit on last week's program concerning that about, you know, tracking and all this other and where everybody's supposed to be and how to do. And you made a great comment, just checking in. You know what I mean? Just to say, I'm okay. You know, that's okay. But we're back to, again, when you look at things, is it worth dropping the yes, ma'am, no, ma'am? Is it worth doing away with a constructive behavior for recognizing authority of any kind? How do you send them to school when they can't say yes, man, or no, man? Or they expect the teacher when they can't be molded, if you will, mm-hmm. into a place where they understand that they have to be quiet? And have we just left it up to school systems to raise our children? Is it always the teacher's fault because the children comes in and he hasn't been taught corrective behavior?
And why have we left it up to the schools? You know, there's a fellow that I got to know years ago who was the head of the Charlotte Douglas Airport. His name was Jerry Orr. And he used to say, the standard is the standard. End of discussion. I mean, when Champion Services goes out and does work on a house, whatever it's going to be, the standard is the standard. You don't have schlock work back at that out there, you wouldn't have grown the way you have. So I don't understand. I'm going back to my old man mentality here, that if we have a standard which is called manners, why is that all of a sudden not important?
And one of the things we talked about in the opening little paragraph was talking about the ability to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Catherine, do you always feel like you're being heard? Not just talking about children. Oh. I'm talking about around the world now. This is going on the air, and I don't want to make anybody mad, but does your voice get the type of airtime that it needs?
Well, I think everybody feels they're not heard, even if they are heard to some degree. I do want to say, though, to rewind back to what we were talking about with standards and teachers. One of the things we spoke about was Mr. and Mrs., and it really light bulb in the head moment, because there's a lot less you hear of people addressing an individual with a Mr. or Mrs. beforehand. But have you noticed in schools it's still Miss Smith, Mrs. Walser? There's always a Miss or a Mr. or a Mrs. in front of the teachers.
Good for them.
But when you go, little Johnny goes over to his friend Walker's house, he says, hey, Karen, to the mom.
Yeah, I remember when Harrison started first grade. We walked into his classroom, we walked in there with him, and they invited us to come in. And in terms of to sit there, and the first thing the teacher did was she stood up and she said, I'm not Miss anything, I'm Doctor.
Ooh.
And my first call back to that was, okay, we got a bunch of first graders scared to death walking into a room, but she was laying the groundwork right in front and forward that I am Dr. Burton. And I applauded her for that, because that set a tone for where the guiding line was, what I was to be called, what I wasn't to be called. And I think that, you know, we had a conversation the other day when we were talking about it being at home. So, you know, sometimes you don't even hear your spouse say your name unless they're mad at you. You remember when mom and dad used to call you and it included all parts of your name, first, last, middle, and if you had two middle names and that, and maybe hopefully not any expletives that went with it. And so all those things. So, and then when you hear that around the children, how do we address each other in front of the children? Etiquette. Mm-hmm. What are we teaching them? Those kind of things. And so I think it's really important to be really honest that men and women, whatever the situations are, And it's just a life lesson. You don't call them out of their name unless it's something affirming affection, not taking away from a situation. And so with that, I think when they see that, we and this is grandparents listening too. This is everyone in between. Just because at grandma's house and grandpa's house, they're going to bring them in and they're going to let them go home. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they're like, well, we just spoil them, feed them candy and do all that and send them out the door. Well, it's also part of the equation for their rearing, for their self-control, for their understanding, for their respectfulness, to re-encourage the children as to the respect for their parents, their authority, their school. We want patriotism on all the things that we have. So I think all this begins with understanding that they have to have a nobility, if you will, towards how they conduct themselves, how they're seen. Does that make sense?
Sure, it makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. And this goes beyond just what we've been talking about, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, all that kind of stuff. You know, you talk about manners when people go out in public. I mean, are we not teaching the kids how they should conduct themselves if they're somebody else's house for dinner? I mean, really? If we're not doing the standard, you know, respect for the adults, what are we teaching them in terms of how they should conduct themselves if they're wherever?
Part of understanding mannerism and etiquette is to identify with all people. At the same time, too, we're not here to infuriate nor, again, we don't need another argument. We're here to reason together to understand, are the causes of our actions and actions we're taking with other people bringing out the best or the worst? I can't think of a better way to greet somebody with a good morning. It's great to see you. It changes the atmosphere. Wake up in the morning and say that to your children. They don't always come out with the sweetest things in the morning. I don't want it, and I ain't gonna, and don't make me. And I, my Millie is three, and she her favorite word is two letters. N-O. No. And that's what you get. And so you soften that until you watch her walk up later, and she wraps her arms around you and says, hey, Daddy, give me a kiss. And it's all better. And you hope that we're good. You know, the old adage is your children are always better somewhere else than they are at home.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You probably experienced that. And these people come up and you go, my kid did what?
Yeah.
Oh, they're the sweetest. They're the greatest. And you're going, and you could see when you say that about other kids, you and parents go, you're confused. You do know my child's name, right? But that also, that's rewarding to hear those kind of things. But I think the goal of it is to teach them that they can create an atmosphere of self-awareness. They can create an atmosphere to change the temperature in the room. They can do that at home with moms and dads. And we're not talking about manipulation. We're talking about a general seeing and feeling of how do we get it done? How do we make it happen? And so with that idea in mind, when we come to a conclusion here of things we want to do, I got to ask you this. And this, I want to touch real quickly on this because we are going to run short of time. Is there a relationship between current unrest on campuses and attitudes towards police and mannerism for authority? I know we can get really a long time on that. Catherine?
So campus, as in college campus, less authority. But I think that goes back to how were they raised.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. Were you raised with that structure in your household? If you weren't, then it's crazy town once you get to college, because there's nobody mandating what you do, how you do it anymore. And then those, I think you have on the other extreme, that have been too strictly monitored, they get to a position where they want and welcome to kind of be that person that's rebelling against authority. So I think you've got a little bit of both going on there. And when they get to college, they are their own person. They are an adult, all those things, and they feel they have something to prove.
So hopefully they have a value system to fall back on, and they'll remember part of this. But you're right, it's a transition from being controlled by mommy and daddy all day long to being on your own. And you just hope that value system is there. So when they are on their own, they have, you know, they know how to conduct themselves.
So what we're really talking about here, it really boils down to the atmosphere, the rearing, the teaching, the raising, if you will, of what they've been involved in.
You are doing a disservice to your child if you don't set up some type of a structure, a proper structure for how they should be conducting themselves in the house, outside of the house. If you don't do that, and they're just wild and crazy for 18 years under your roof, they're going to be wild and crazy when they leave you.
So is it more about nurture than the nature?
There you go.
I like that. I do. I like that so much. So again, the topic of the program today is just to talk through the ideas of manners and etiquette. I think we've discussed a lot of ideas behind it. Is, does it make us better husbands? Does it make us better wives? Does it make us better students? Does it make us better employees?
Yes, 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 and yes.
Catherine, how many yeses can I get out of you?
I think so.
Yeah. I love it. The generation in here of Gap is wonderful, and that's why we're here to talk real talk, folks. Not something that is manifested, not something that probably some of these thoughts have went through everybody's possibilities. We're here each and every week, and this is the joy of the program. We thank you for listening in and want to be here. We want to remind you that you set the atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly right. You set the tone in your own household.
Yeah, you do.
And the tone you set is the tone that's going to leave through the back door.
Character is what we're building. Joy is what we're trying to accomplish. Things that we do and how we present ourselves is also a selling technique for a potential employer.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Last comments for you, Mr. Manning?
No, sir? I think we've, I hope we've made some sense to the listeners out there.
That, you mean common sense?
Yes, common
sense. It's not
sense.
So common. But.
You know, standards are important, bottom line, to me. Everybody needs to have a standard, and if you're not teaching standards to your children, then you're doing them a disservice. That's my opinion.
Miss Catherine.
I think it all goes back to being aware of the way you talk and the tone you have and how it influences a situation and the relationship you have with the people you're talking to.
I don't think it gets any better than that. This is Real Talk. I'm John Warden with Manning Kimmel and with Catherine Madden. And we want to thank you again for listening in. We hope to hear from you. We're going to give you a email address. So if you have comments about the program, and I'm going to make sure I don't mess this email address up, and it's reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.
Wow.
That's a mouthful, but I think we've said a mouthful today.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, everybody. Real Talk is sponsored by Champion Services Incorporated, your local remodel and restoration company, and the Red Door Church. If you're interested in sponsorship or you have a story you want to share or want to be a part of this program, contact us at reachus.realtalkradio@gmail.com.